Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, we thank you tonight. It's going to be a real family night. Like I said, the red carpet to the people. So we'll be able to do some things out of the regular, and the people may, what happens, build, never destroy, always constructive, always lifting up, always oikodomeo, building up the body of Christ, strengthening them in the love, strengthening them in the unity, and strengthening them in the covenant that we have with you. Bless your holy name tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, and bless this event and what takes place to your glory and honor. Let your Holy Spirit lead us now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may all take your seats. Thank you very much. And we have a few things. I'm taking my books and I'm going to the background. Things happening behind my back. This is supposed to be the red carpet situation. Okay? So now the next thing is, who shall we put in those two chairs and talk to them? You know? And question is, I have a daughter here. She says, Dad, this must take place. Maybe I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit in the middle one. And so that the fear can be debated, in case Ntatu thought it was he is going to come and sit here. Amen. Give Jesus a praise offering, everybody. How many of you love Jesus? Well, praise the Lord. Give glory to his name. Amen.
Look, I'm not going to complain. When they said, let's have an interview, and I've got range to ask whatever I feel like asking, I was quite happy because they have to answer. So what tonight's going to be about is... This is my dad. He's been speaking about the blood covenant. And I said to him on Tuesday, for me, the blood covenant and the covenant that we have with Christ, as he's been teaching last week and this week, I'm still out of breath, just give me a second. Singing. So the blood covenant has been really something that stood out to me. Many years ago, I did Bible school in 1998, 1999, the year just before we got married. My husband had been with me first, second, third year, and the one thing that stood out to me, one subject specifically, was the blood covenant, because that gave us a very good explanation of how Christ feels about us and our relationship with God and what our responsibilities are with God. And I thought, no crying tonight.
No.
Do we have tissues on stage? So I thought, as a daughter that grew up in this household, and he belongs to me, he's my dad, but he's your dad as well. He's a spiritual father to so many in the church. And walking in covenant is something that he truly, truly understands. I grew up under their roof. I understand how they are with each other. And I can tell you before God, these two are as in love as they were 54 years ago. So, I mean, look at that. It's when it all started. He's so handsome. How many? Is it 52? It's not. I worked it out. 1971. Am I right? Am I wrong?
That's 53.
53? So she's 54 this year.
We actually met before.
Turning
that
53.
Time.
You know, all right, so maths wasn't my subject.
You know, from when she fell in love with me.
So they have incredible love and trust with one another, and that's the relationship that we have to have with Christ. Amen? And so I thought, seeing that I have the floor, I'm going to ask them some questions, because this same relationship that they have with each other, Christ wants to have with us, and in our homes and in our families and for those who are still going to get married. So with that as a foundation, Mom, Dad, I have a question to ask. It's a tough question. You don't know about this question. It's a super serious question. He's stressing already. But at which time in your lives did you decide Marie's your favorite child? No.
I'm going to answer
it's
that
one.
It's
not true.
I'm going to answer that one. Maybe we should ask Frankie because they did it. We have our son in the audience as well, and they always said Marie's the favorite. So, you know what? I don't have favorites. You lock her in the
they
back.
They really did. They locked me in my mother's cupboard when
regularly.
They left the house. And then I figured out how to wear my mom's clothing, and I made something useful during that time and not come out
I
wearing
mean, you know,
stuff.
I want to
so.
Put an anchor peg in this. In a marriage with children, there's no favoritism.
There is
the
no.
moment
there
there's
really
favoritism,
isn't.
You've got problems.
Absolutely.
Absolutely every child gets the same portion.
No, that's the truth. They really were. It's more, I think every family, how many of you have that saying in your families? I'll be honest. It happens. So, but to start on a serious note, and within the family and faith as a foundation, how has faith played a role in sustaining your marriage covenant for over 5 decades? And let's just start with that. How has faith played a role?
You answer. I can sit here tonight and it's just, this is really good, you know. Look at this like a big campfire and we're all sitting down. You do the talking for me now.
You know, when I was growing up, I was in a convent, and I remember going home and I said to my mother, I'm going to be a nun because I'm going to go to India and I'm going to be a missionary. And the only way I could figure out to be a missionary was to become a nun. Anyway, later in time, I met Harold. And I was serving God, and I said to Harold one day, I can't remember what, I just said, he said to me, you should have married a pastor. And we were having one of those, you know, he was in the radio world, and some of the things, I couldn't handle that music half of the time. And that's where he said to me, you should have married a pastor. And he actually prophesied himself into his role. So that's my part of the faith.
You know, when it comes to, you know, where it takes you, the whole thing, the entrance of the Word, faith comes by hearing. The Word of God just blew me away.
You're not going to cry tonight?
When you realize the immense, indescribable power of His Word, and you start applying it, you come to a point where you have no option but to follow God all the way. It's either faith all the way. So with that faith, there's a funny thing about it, because with that faith, you overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So with that faith, you overcome. Now, with that, you become... I will use this in another, as an expression, there's another thing you could say, that there's a numbness towards setbacks, because you're driving on, like Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate. Stay in the Word, day and night. Now you get a problem, and you are reflective against the Word of God all the time, all the time. You reflect, and so... if you do that, the Word gives you the solution immediately. Now, make a prayer according to the Word, and any challenge really is the same as any other challenge. To me, it's like you start looking for solutions, not for problems. Okay, sweetheart, Marie. There's two sweethearts here. There's one and that one.
I think that's it. You know, like your dad says, you know, every problem that we had, because we were so... We became so grounded in the Word together. I never stayed behind your father.
Never.
I always was there with him. When he studied something, I was in there behind him. When he got into, I remember the Bible college, he would bring things home. I would get into all the material because they were recorded material. And so I kept up with him literally day by day. And that was really our salvation. It was my salvation. And I see so many... people in the ministry, pastors' wives, that aren't there with their husbands because they haven't kept there as far as their faith is concerned. So I think that has been the key to our success, was walking together, fighting the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
with children in the ministry, and I think that's one aspect, but I think everyone sitting here with having children and those that will still have children and families coming through, through the generations to come, looking back, how did your faith guide you in raising your children?
Okay, good.
Children are a challenge, and little girls are blessings, boys are little blessings, heavily disguised. And we had two of each. Our girls were very big blessings. Our boys were disguised blessings on many opportunities. But by the grace of God, we plowed through. You know, you think we live in it's a pastor's home, and you know, but I want to tell you what, it's a glass house. And everybody's looking in. And you know, children, the Lord, it's they are loaned to you as parents, but they belong to God. And so many times, I gladly gave them back to God. And if you don't give your children to God, you hold on to the situations and the problems that emerge during children's lives. And, you know, many times, children, and Harold and I have had to counsel a lot of couples and through the years, children can cause a lot of strife in the home when parents are not focused on values together. And I have seen this. I remember I've had, if I think of the blended families that we've had, and we got them here today, because I know that, for instance, divorced situations, almost 70% of all children
about 70% of children in schools
would come from divorced
broken
homes. And those parents get married, and the children, then it becomes yours, mine, and sometimes ours. And that's a very difficult situation. I've had situations in my office where I've had the husbands and the wives literally screaming at each other. And we've had, in our friendship circles through the years, we've had problems with the parents where he had a child and she has a child. And I see how those children bring division and strife in the home. And it's so important, parents, that you pray together, you stand together. You know, I've got something in my Bible, and Harold knows about this, because it's not just in my Bible. I've plastered it all over my desk and my side. I've put it under the glass of my table. This is what I have all over my house. And my Bibles have got them in, and Harold's got one under his. I said, dear, in Jeremiah 31, you want to hear what the Lord promises for your children? Do you want to hear what the Lord promises for your children? And this is so powerful. Yeah. I got this, when God gave this to me, it was in the New Living, the Spirit-filled Bible. God's promise for our children. And he says here in Jeremiah 31:16, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they, that is your children, shall come back from the land of the enemy. Amen. God promises to bring your children back. And then he says, there is a hope in your future, says the Lord. And your children shall come back to their borders. And then I love what the notes in the bottom of my Spirit-filled Bible said in the Kingdom Dynamics. When children stray from the Lord, you know, when you're raising those children, I remember, I think it was your mother that said, as long as you can cover all the children under one blanket, they're still in the home, you have, as a parent, a form of control. But once they leave that house, they're out there, they're making their own decisions. But this is what they said here. One of the greatest heartaches of any believing parent occurs when one of their children has rebelled against the ways of the Lord. Now, God's word offers comfort and hope in this situation. Why? Because God understands. Much of the Old Testament story is a story of God's children that wandered away from him. He knows our heartaches. He has promised to bring our children back. He promises ultimately that they will come back to the ways they were taught as children. Proverbs 22 verse 6. He goes on to say that peace will be their portion as they encounter him. Isaiah 54:13, and then he goes on and he says, and he will fight for us as parents. God will fight for us to see salvation come to our children. Isn't that incredible? We don't have to fight. We give them to God. We don't have to fight. Hallelujah.
She's always in those verses, but it's very important. It says your children come back from the land of the enemy. That there, some of the commentators I've seen that I've been reading through, that it says there that literally they will be taken out of Satan's grip and captivity, out of the grip of the devil, if you equate it to New Covenant times where we now. But you've got to have the faith. Your faith is right central to everything. It provides you with a value system. It provides you with priorities. And so you look at that, your child come back out of the grip of the devil. And then even there, like you have the prodigal of the lost son, how that father receives those children. Very important.
And something else, I need to add this also very important, that we discovered also over the years, is that parents, especially moms, because we're in the home where the children are with us, and if you go through the book of Proverbs, you actually see the role of the mother, and don't ever underplay. If you are a mother at home and you're raising your children, I want to tell you, you've got the best job in the world. You can be a bank manager, you can be a COO, CEO, whatever, but I tell you what, if you're a mother, that is the most important job. And I had the privilege of being able to be at home with my children and raise my children. That was one of the values that Harold would not let go. But there was another aspect to it, and this is where we often miss it. We so lock in and latch in to our children that we actually neglect our husbands. And there comes a time when that child leaves home, and we don't have a friendship with our husbands. And that is so important. Do you know how many marriages break up when the children have left the home? Because the wife focused so much on the children, the husband focused so much on his work, that the two of them never learned to grow together, to have mutual. And this is something I've had to learn all my years with Harold. What his interests are also my interests. Yes, I've got my interests. I could have gone off and done a lot of other things, but I chose to be my husband's best friend. And when he went into the ministry, I went in with him, boots and all. And that has saved our marriage. Now the children are out the home. And I tell you what, Harold and I, we've got a wonderful marriage, and I promise you, they're not coming home.
No, you know that you just mentioned there, there's a book by T.D. Jakes, My Wife, My Lover, and My Friend. Okay, now she's both, all three of those, actually. And so never, there's some real powerful principles here, and I am very strong on this. Number one is you never argue in front of the children, a married couple. Just taboo. It just doesn't, it's verboden. It just does not happen. You never argue in front of children. And the second thing is you never take sides. If there's any disagreement, you sort it out behind the scene, but you come forward. I was saying to Maud, you know, we say a lot of things because we're talking to each other all the time. You know, children, you know, they, from when they're in a cot, they look at the parents, they read you. And they know. You're really serious now, there's trouble. Or they know that she or he is not really serious. You say, okay, stop that now. Until you say, stop it, you know. Then the child's, so they learn. And when the older they grow, the more skillful they climb in there and they drive a wedge in your marriage. So we would never allow that, never. You don't talk about the church in front of children. Always constructively, otherwise people don't come to church. Say, well, you know, if that's the church, then I'm not going to go. It's children. Same with marriage. You don't have no argument in front of children. Verboden. It happens, taboo. And then you sort the thing out as one. And there's no side and there's no favoritism. You wanted to ask, sweetheart?
No. I just wanted to say before you started, but it shows that that's where this is going, is I wanted to say with the two of them, my brother sits here, my eldest brother. I have never seen my parents in my entire life fight with each other. Now, I don't say that so that you have to feel, maybe you have a marriage that is going through a tough time, but it's definitely a choice. That's a choice they made. They never fought in front of us. They would go behind closed doors. You wouldn't even hear them. And I think in my case, it was monkey see, monkey do, because in my life, I applied the same with my husband, but I never, because there's covenant, which brings me to asking you the word covenant with each other, how has that played a role for you? How did it come alive?
Okay, I'm going to get into something here. I assume most of you are adults. You look like adults, because I don't see any children here. But I'm dad here, and so let me talk here amidst a mostly mature audience. A marriage covenant is always, the word in Hebrew means to cut also. If you analyze the Hebrew, in the pictography, you see that thing, it means to cut a covenant. There's a flow of blood, okay? Jesus cut the covenant on the cross, there was blood. When in the ideal marriage, I said this morning, the ideal marriage, because there's so many different forms of marriage, you have to analyze and orientate in accordance with that type of marriage you're dealing with if you should be counseling that couple. But in the ideal marriage, let's say the girl is a virgin and the man is also a virgin, they come together in straight language with the breaking of the virgin or the hymen, there is then an issue of blood. The covenant is cut, it's ratified, it's established. Now that thing, two become one flesh, it's the blood covenant. So a marriage covenant is a blood covenant. It's your life and my life becoming, her life, my life becoming one life. Now from that moment of that intimacy, that is it. That's why it's holy matrimony. Now we know that all these variations of the deviations of the norm that you get, but that is the fundamental thought that's coming in my mind always. I think marriage, covenant. God and us, covenant. Rules of the covenant, conduct of the kingdom. Want to say anything else?
We can't put the past right. We can't change the past. But these young people sitting here, you can determine your future. And I really encourage you to take heart of what is being said here tonight, because it is so vitally, vitally important,
very important,
that you start the road right now. Because what you start right, you will finish right. And this is something interesting. Many times in marriage, especially ladies, I mean, you know, we're the moral compass of the house. And ladies are very different to men, in case you men haven't discovered that yet. And women are trying to usurp the roles of men, and sometimes vice versa. No, we're all one in Christ, we're all equal, but we got different roles. And in those different roles, we as ladies, we determine the atmosphere in the home. One day I was counseling somebody and she said she was in depression and on antidepressants and this and that, and she says, her husband actually phoned me and said, please, I can't go on like this. You need to see my wife. And I took her and we went to a park and we sat down and I said, okay, tell me what's going on. She says, I don't know, you know, when I get up in the morning and you know, if he's not happy or something's wrong, then I'm wrong. I said, no, wait a minute. If he determines your happiness, that's exactly where you're missing it, because Christ is your happiness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We look for our joy in Christ, not with one another. There are days when ladies, and especially when ladies start reaching time of life where they're going through menopause and so, there's always that scratchiness and moodiness and so. And praise God, my husband understood me. And I remember he said his father understood his mother and my father understood my mother. But I want to tell you, it's that understanding that just gives the woman the opportunity to be what she needs to be. But ladies, you determine the atmosphere of that home. If I get up in that morning moody, that house is moody. No matter what condition he's in, that house is moody. I get up and I have to determine that house in the morning. And I am the one that determines the moral compass within the home as well. So I just want to say, young people, take heart what's being said here. Start right. Many times, and this is another thing, we say the right things, but at the wrong times. Or we do the right, we want people to do the right thing, but we have a wrong way of approaching it. Ask God to give you wisdom. That is something I pray every day, that God will give me wisdom. And I love James where it says, he's going to give it to us liberally. I pray for a liberal portion of wisdom every day.
Can I tell one testimony on language, on how people speak to each other, because your water's escaping. There was a couple in the church. I can't say names. No, but it's a nice story. But it's fine. I won't give their names. But they're older now. They've moved on to an old age home. But these two people came to Little Falls, and this is to give hope to those who maybe have a broken marriage and you're busy going through something tough. These two were sitting in the church. They were 10 days. I was small. I was one of those on one of these chairs making circles, watching people come in and out. There they go to the prayer room, there they go to dad's office, and you watch people. And this one couple did not do well. Yeah. And they came in for counseling, and they were dealing with them on communication and how they were talking to one another, and they took it bit for bit, and their marriage was finished. There was nothing left. They were gonna say goodbye to each other. There were issues there, and I believe it was Pastor Tiens who counseled them, or it was Pastor Louis. It was Pastor Tiens, because he is more nostalgic, and it was exactly what they needed. So he made them write letters to one each other every single day, and they had to put it in each other's lunch boxes. Now I don't know, but if I don't like someone, I'm going to struggle to write them a love letter. And they did that. Those two came from Lindhaven to the factory to this church. They sat over there. They were so in love because they learned to communicate with the idea of Christ within the marriage and building those blocks back up and praying together and speaking love and affection over one another. Which brings me to my next point, which is passion killers. It's so quiet.
Well, there's a defined passion. The word passion could be an intense desire, a posse, something that you really want to do, but it could be many things. People just equate that to sexuality, but actually, if you're passionate, you can be passionate about a hobby. There's lots of things you can be passionate about. Men like, you know, cars or whatever, hobbies and things. You know, women like different things. But so this passion, in a marriage, there are these destructive forces. In fact, that's the only thing I just brought my notebook with, which I didn't bring with this morning. But it's pretty good here. I'm just, you know, I'll just give you here it is. The passion killers. I'm just going to read it to you. So you put it on tape if you want to, because I mean, I suppose we can, you know. Number one, backsliding, not a proper commitment to God. People, if the Lord does not build a house, forget about it. The Lord's got to be right there in the middle of a marriage. Right there. And he's the only one allowed in that marriage. Because there is a kind of love that can only come from God and be transmitted to a married couple, to each other. That is the Greek word agape. Now, if you take it, depending on how you apply it, agapao, but if you say just agape, that comes from God. The love of God, which is the agape, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I have it, Maud has it. When we, in marriage context, it's that love that's the binding force. Because love is one of the forces of the recreated. Money is a major issue. I mentioned it last week. Communications. People do not understand how important communication is. Communication is like this. There's often a resistance against language or languages. I never have that. Language is the enablement to communicate with people. You can communicate when you know if you speak the language. clearly with language there has to be understanding and understandability. So if there is not a proper communication, you know, the rule is like with us, like for me always is like, what are you really saying to me? Because I misunderstand, misinterpret, do the wrong thing, or don't do anything. So it's very important that you get it very clear when your marriage partner communicates with you. Now, I understand not everybody's married here, but there's learning for all of us because it concerns Christ and His bride. So, communication. And then in that communication of the marriage, nobody talks into our marriage, has ever spoken, or ever influenced. I'll give you a little testimony tonight here. My mother really, my parents, I was the only son, so I was the last born child. They had four daughters in a row. One died, and then one of my sisters died very early. Then I was born like the fifth child then. And there were actually four sisters, and then came me. And when I just became, you know, because you're the only boy, and you know, your parents are there. And with all of that, my mother had this strong relationship with me all the time. Now, remember, I through my school years. I remember into my army years. Went to the military college and school and academy there in Fort. I worked all of these things for the officers. And all the time, they would help me with my clothes and everything, and they up and down. When once I got married, one day my mother, I can't even remember what it was about because I didn't really bother to think about it again. But she was like kind of demanding. Now we're a married couple, the two of us, but I must do. So I stopped my mother in her tracks. Only once, never again. And with that, there was an essential relationship change. I said to her, this here, Maud, is my wife. She's in covenant with me. You don't say one word to impact or interfere what the two of us have decided. I took her on straight there. She never did it again. And from there, it was a relationship between us of a higher order on another level. No interference in that marriage. May not be. Woe to those who interfere. So when a person interferes in your marriage, it could be for all kinds of reasons, but it is the most dangerous thing because the devil wants to drive a wedge in between. So my prime on earth, God is the most important, and right here where we're living, she's the next. And she's got that priority. More than anybody else alive, she's the treasure. Then the two of us come into unity, and then we do things together. So communications, senseless destructive arguments, passion killers. Pornography, do I have to say? Can I give you stats? I looked at the stats this week, and I had some books. Pastor Yehu gave me some books there, you know, about digital cocaine, all this digital stuff. It is a curse. I've been fighting it, and more intense as the day goes by. Pornography is a terrible thing, because man, I don't want to get into this. It's too much to say, but just say this to you, that man thinks in pictures. Mankind, we're thinking in pictures. Whether you know it or not, if I say your dog or your cat or your car, you see your car immediately. What type of car? Oh, it's that type of car. You see it. You think in pictures. These pictures burn into the memory of people. And then afterwards, they have huge problem getting rid of that stuff. Okay. So stubborn willness. I'm just reading you the list very quickly here. Stubborn willness, willfulness, and just stubbornness. Letting yourself go, appearance, and body care, and even bad breath, things like that, hygiene, problems of life that weigh down. A lot of problems weigh people down, get them depressed. Need not be like that ever, because faith comes. We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, so then there's also the fact that the marriage bed has got to be as a place of much holiness. It remains under the holiness of God. And general bad habits, tempers, moodiness, and all of those fluctuations, nonsensical things, shouldn't be part in the life of love of two Christians. And so I don't want to go on further with these things, but those are the passion killers. It kills a marriage, it kills it off. It just flattens the tire, so to speak. So for me, it's very important. I don't want to continue because I'll continue a long time to take it.
I think we've got something just for you.
Oh, if just for me, no.
Just for you.
Now I'm in trouble, people.
You're in trouble.
Who's going to help me? Give the Lord a praise offering quickly,
please,
quickly.
Please.
This is an example of a passion killer.
This is so funny.
But it's not.
It's very funny. And we thought we were just going to put this in there. And it's just enjoy this moment with us.
They did it right. And every time I call you, you got a new story. What was an? You sang me a song the other day on the phone when I called.
Oh, I got to thinking, what would it be like if a guy didn't really know the girl he was marrying, you know? Yeah. And goes like this, we got married last Friday. My girl was right there beside me. Our friends were all gone. We were alone, side by side. We were so happily wed when she got ready for bed then. Her teeth and her hair she placed in a chair. Side by side. One glass eye so tiny, one hearing aid so small. Then she took one leg off and placed on the chair by the wall. I stood there brokenhearted. Most of my girl had departed. I slept on the chair. There was more of her there. By side.
Hallelujah. I just thought we're going to just lighten the moment with that song. And you know, it brings me to a situation where I need to also just speak about transparency. And I'm speaking to all the unmarried gentlemen here tonight. You know, through the years, Pastor Tiens has been, he does the counseling and counseling courses. And we used to sit a lot and talk as a group. And the DISC profile, of course, played a very big role in how we would analyze situations, profiles, understanding why others misunderstand you, and how, ladies, we don't, when we get married, we don't, our husbands do not become a construction project, and to accept them as they are, and for the men to accept the women as they are. But often, especially when you're courting a girl, you know, the role of the personality and character come into play.
That too.
And what happens is, in a courtship, there's like 70% personality. But when you get married, you're living with the character. And that is why it is so important that you become very transparent. You be very transparent, very honest with one another. Harold spoke about pornography, and we have sat with marriages with women through the years that I've counseled that have been totally devastated in the marriage because it dishonors the marriage bed. It dishonors the marriage partner. Now, I need to correct this as well. Women and men get into pornography, and we through the years, we were quite shocked to hear situations, but it really is extremely, extremely damaging. And I want to say, if there's anybody here, our pastors are all here. Let them pray with you. We keep things very confidential. We don't, it's got nothing to do with it. When we sit in a circle of pastors, we do not discuss the other one's problems or what problems or counseling situations have come to us. We're very discreet with that. But we want to help people. We want to restore the marriages. We want to reunite the families. We want to bring families together. And I just want to say, folk, communication is one of the foundations for a successful marriage. Be transparent, be honest with one another. And one thing I never said, I remember one very dear friend, when her husband died, there was no transparency in the marriage, and he'd never told her what the condition of their finances were. When he died, he left her with all her young children and no money. The house had to be sold. Everything had to be sold. If it's not going well in your business, gentlemen, I know there's a pride issue. But you know what? Your wife is there to stand with you. One sets 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Take hands. Pray together. Ask God to show you and to give you the way out. It is so vitally important. And then I want to say something else to the ladies. One thing I've had to counsel a lot with is ladies that are in the business world, earning a lot of money, and you get into the situation of, this is my money, this is my account. I had one very, very dear lady, and she came to me with her husband. Both of them sat for counsel, and he said, I can't handle it anymore. She earns more than I do, and we're busy renovating the house, and we got into an argument, and she said, well, it's my money, I'm paying for it, this is what I want. If you cannot find a situation of unity and come into unity, especially with financial situations, finances are probably right up there with marriages that end up on the rocks. And financial mismanagement or overmanagement or undermanagement of finances. So I really suggest that, you know, if you're needing any help, we had a wonderful evening with Dr. Dennis and Iffy the other night, and you want to talk about a perfect marriage. Those two have, it's so interesting to hear what they said, how they met one another. The second visit, he said to Iffy, you're going to be my wife, came back to South Africa, continued with his practice, went back. And you know, they have 4 weddings. You're laughing, and Tatu, how many did you have? 3.
3?
He had 3.
Were you
they
unsure?
They had the white wedding, the traditional wedding, the this wedding, the that wedding. I couldn't believe it. No wonder they got to pay Labolo. You got to cover all the weddings. And I was just listening. It was incredible. But I want to tell you, folk, there's a lot of help, and we are here for you. God bless you.
So,
amen.
We're finished, but I'm going to quote the first scripture because I'm scared you to take it. I'm going to say something that has been them and has been, I think, for any marriage, I've been married this year 24 years, and for me, it was our scripture right from the beginning, Matthew 6:33.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest shall be added unto you. That's what they taught me about covenant. Put God first, and it will just happen. Everything that we decide, everything that we say. So that scripture in ending after 50 years.
Yeah, very easy. That one there. A very principle, total principle for many, 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 many moons. Ephesians chapter number 4, I think it's in verse 16, 17, 18, the whole section there. Speak the truth, do not lie to each other. Yeah. Okay, number one. Number two, do not let the sun go down over your wrath. That means very intense emotional disturbance. That means anger that is unleashed. Now I am busy, so to speak, I always say, revving up because of this, that, the other. Do not let the sun go down over your wrath. That does not please God. Wrath is a thing. I never, ever, ever, if there's any form of agreement ever, first choice for all of these years, solve the problem right there on the spot. Don't let it fester. On the spot. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Then it says something very interesting directly after that. It's Ephesians 4. Then it says, and do not give the devil no place. The word place, the Greek word, is called topos in Greek. If you take topos in Greek, it's the word that we get topography from, a surface, opportunity, a place from where to operate into your marriage, to drive a wedge in there and break up the covenant. Do not give the devil no place. So I say, solve the problem. Don't let it become an issue. And if you have to deal in life, bring closure to issues. Don't live on with issues. Bring closure to issues. Scriptural closure. And then move on. But don't dwell in anger, because it's very bad. If I think any couple has to get into a bed with the wrong fire burning now, because they're both on fire with anger, that's wrong altogether. Now the love of God's gone there, and now these two are unhappy, wherever it may be. I laid a golden rule from the beginning of marriage, moenie dat die son gaan ondergaan oor jou toorn nie. That just doesn't happen. Marieke.
I want to, you know, we were a group of friends the other night, and just this wasn't the home cell. And as an icebreaker, I said, and this is a nice thing you can do in a friendship group, it might take too long in a home cell, but I said, what are the things that, a little thing that irritates you with your partner? What is it, something that you've had to live with that just bugs you? And we had a lot of laughs, and I ended the night by saying, now what is the thing that you love the most? And it was so interesting the night, because, you know, as we go through life, it's those little things that can become very big situations. But we had good laughs, because I remember many years ago, Harold used to get very irritated with me. I would take my shoes off and just kick them under the bed. Come on, how many honest people have we got here tonight? Nobody. Just look at them there. There, hallelujah, there's somebody that's being honest. And he now got us a bed where there's no place under the bed. But I'm joking. But what happened was, we had this beautiful little puppy dog that chewed up 3 pairs of my shoes. And that solved the problem overnight. Never ever did that again. And I laughed at Marie. I mean, she would sometimes just leave a cupboard door or a drawer open, and Wesley would, he would really nag and close the doors, close this, and then they would walk out the room, and she says they would just, he would push the door closed, and as she goes past, because she's following him, she just opens it up again, and they carry on. And he says, I know I closed this door. You see, Wes, now you know what's happening in your home. But you know what I loved? And the one friend came, she says, you know, there's nothing negative. There's only positive things about my partner. Folk, look for the positive things about your partner, and it's those are the things that we dwell on and that we build on, that we love one another on, and Harold loves everything that I do. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, especially the chocolates. I mean, you know, that's just another thing. But you know what it's like when it comes to marriage? It is so sacred. In my eyes, it's just the most sacred thing. It determines a future. Maud came in, and I wanted her to join me by my side. I planted the Bible school in 1986. Then I did just everything, and I taught just, well, I just, there were one or two subjects in that first year. It was only Barry Lubber. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And then, yeah, that's it, Christ the Healer. Otherwise, I did just all the subjects. And so there came a point, we had Erica doing the finances, whatever. In those days, she was like a, call it, accountant for us. And then there were the external auditors. But I just remember there was a point that I said to Maud, why don't you come and join me here? And I said, you know, I didn't have to pay her more money, because those days were thin days in terms of the Bible school's not that big, not that big income. I said, just join me. So I get some extra help and some hands in there. Maud joined in with me. The best thing ever that could have happened to our marriage. We planned together. We set vision together. We operated as a team. And we've been a team to this day. I don't go nowhere without my wife. My wife goes nowhere without me. We're just like that. Very occasionally, Maud would say, would you mind if I go with Molly and go to I said, of course you can. Go with your friends. Go, of course. But as a rule, when we go out, if I go anywhere to preach, if they invite me to preach in a church in Cape Town in America, they pay the ticket for my wife. They want me there, they pay for my wife as well. Otherwise, forget it. I just don't go. She goes with me. There's my covenant partner. No mischief. All the time with her. That's the way you construct the marriage. So we're talking, I just want to make a closing remark here at this end of the session. We have this situation where people, we're living in a terribly broken society. There are some burn stones. There are people that have really hurt so bad. People that say they suffer because of some kind of stress disorder that comes, you know, because of that. The trauma of divorce is terrible. Children have to choose between which parent and which parent. Ultimately, you have what Maud called there earlier, you get blended marriages. Those two parents that now come together there have got such a responsibility to sow unity in front of any child. And let me say it again, I said it earlier in the night, no favorites. All children are the same. Here's the point. Here sits my daughter, there sits my son. No favorites. They all loved equal. They all inherit equal. It's just like it is. Now, when this marriage, divorce, remarriage, there's a course on that. If you take that situation and you analyze, it's a beautiful course that I've done many, many years ago. And I actually got it from where I was studying, and then I just carried on with the same thing. When you do the marriage, divorce, and remarriage situation, you realize the terrible hurt, the tearing that takes place. Now, there's been a covenant. This thing is ripped apart. There are men, there are women that couldn't care that much about breaking up that covenant. And you have to be on guard. Be watchful, be vigilant. The Lord is near, the Lord is your helper. And so you've got to be so careful. These people suffer. There's pain indescribable. They're nights of weeping and tears. Where you find these deep hurts that come with people. Now, when people can't bring closure to issue, it comes with them. And when it comes with them, that keeps on hurting them. Because the things that you keep on remembering are the very things you need to forget. And to forgive and leave. Then there is this, okay, Romans chapter 1:31, I think it is, where it talks, because they did not acknowledge to retain God in their knowledge. I'm quoting the whole context here. Because they did not think it worthwhile to retain God in their knowledge, hold on to the word of God in their ginosko, their knowledge. Therefore, he gave them over to a debased or a reprobate mind. Debased is off base. Now they begin doing all funny sort of things. Romans 1:31, where it goes on there and it says, and they become unloving, unfaithful. You look at that; those words, they're unloving, unfaithful. The unloving is void of God kind of loving their life now. God's given them over. You want it that way, now go. And you don't play with God. I've learned that very quick in life. Now go. Then they become unfaithful, unloving. That word unfaithful means in the Hebrew it says not truly committed and void of covenant commitment, unfaithful to covenant. They don't care. There are people around that simply don't care. They smash anything up. They don't care. Men, women, they don't care. So marriage in our day and age has become a cheap thing in the world system, especially Hollywood with all the fake weddings and stuff. It's become cheap. People hurt. We deal with them for years. And just a word for pastors and counselors, people to counsel. You know, the one thing that has helped us verskriklik, immensely, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you have a word of knowledge, you sit with a couple, you say, there's your problem. There's your problem. There's your problem. you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I found the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Standby, Hebrews, 1 John 1 verse 9, that the Holy Spirit is the guiding force, both in counseling and the guiding force in the marriage itself, to provide and solve. And then for the people that have been hurt, you might be burned stones, you might be broken, but you are as valuable to God as you have ever been. And God is, to start off with, your maker, as the Bible says, the book of Isaiah, your maker is your man. And God will, if you live that pure and holy life, that purity will draw the correct person back into your life. Only don't do it desperate, because marriage is the greatest investment of all life. Second to that only is a home, is a car, other things. But marriage is the number one investment. When you are with your wife and you invest in that marriage, you can never go wrong. God will be with you. If you're married, if you're divorced, it's not unforgivable. You've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes in this life. All of sin comes short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, 23. Now, therefore, the saving grace of God has appeared to all men, as the book of Titus says. And therefore, God wants us to live pure and holy lives. So now you live your pure and your holy life, and God will bring you in community. Here's the final point I'll make. The beauty is the church. We have a thing called home cells, home fellowship groups, where you have shepherding groups coming together. And you know how many people so far have been healed through that. Get out there, go and sit in a home cell, discuss the Word of God, blend in with the people. They pray for you. If you're hurt, they lift you up. You got somebody caring for you. That loneliness is over. There is koinonia. There's fellowship.
I just want to finish off. I think at the end of this evening, Marie was your favorite.
That's just an inside joke.
She used to get away with murder.
No, that's true. This is because I came so much later. Can I say, she was not supposed to have me. I came through.
I know.
But.
And she would be in the bedroom in her
crib, late.
In her cut, and Dad would be sitting, and he was studying for a degree, and she would lay there, and when I come up the stairs, there she's sitting on his lap, and he's still finishing his course, and he passed with flying colors, and she couldn't say where without Dad being there for her. And but I have to joke, Frankie, he was our eldest, and we had him. He was a big blessing, and he still is a very big blessing in our lives. And I miss my other two, that they're not here this evening. But you know what? Look after your children. You don't have them for long. And here's a secret, and I know we've got some very good grannies here. Spoil the grandchildren and rejoice when they go home, because you don't have to sit, you don't have to apply any authority over them. And I just love my grandchildren. I've got 10. I got two extra ones in the last period of time. I've got 10 grandchildren. I spoil them, but there comes a time when they also leave home, and they will always have memories. Build memories with your family. Good memories. We've got wonderful memories where we've had all the grandchildren together, and we spend time, we invest time, and even finances, if you can do it, into them and help them. We are living in times where, and you need to hear me, we normally, as children, would look after our parents. And many times now we find that the young people are struggling so much that the parents are helping the children. Where you can help your kids, build your families, establish a future with them, they will never forget it, and you building good memories. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Sy was baie stout geweest, jy weet het, nee, baie stout. I need to tell you all the secrets and things. And then I used to have to, because she's now the little lot lamiki, and then I have to take her to school, and I up and down to the school, go fetch, take her, go fetch. And then I would say to her, school, elke dag school. Hier sê ek nog al die jare, I'm busy still going to school. School. And
can I just say something there? You know, the school bus stopped on the corner of our house every morning, but because it was just a little bit too early, you ended up taking her to school because you wouldn't
now
put her on the bus.
Now she tells me, you know. But how many of you love Jesus tonight in this place? Amen. Will you stand? Let me pray. Come on, give Jesus a proper praise offering tonight. If you let go and you let God, He will solve your problems. Let me tell you, those people, I really, in my heart, I feel for the people that have been hurt. And you went through that trauma that I can't even imagine. Because it's, to me, it's terrible, just the thought of it. But if you've been hurt, God is the God of total recovery. It's what David did at Ziklag. It's such a beautiful story where God says, you will go, you will fight the battle, you will win the battle, but you recover, and you'll recover all. And he did, and God did, and he recovered all. And so God is the God of a second chance. God is the God of total recovery. And your faith plays such a vital, critical, essential role as you go forward in life that you become absolutely, I had to make a choice. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to believe everything about the Word of God, or I don't believe at all. And I decided to believe Him. Take His Word, stick with the Word. It becomes your value system, your operational code of conduct, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, there you go. You build a good marriage. And you know what? If that marriage is good, then you have a happy home. And if the parents, the children get so much warmth when they see the unity of that parental couple that steps forward. Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. I realize so many hurts, so many disappointments, so many sorrows. This is the way it goes in life. We know that the enemy is out there and he would like to destroy just everything that is important to us all the time. And there come those days that we're not feeling all that good. There come those days that there are people feel down and they wake up in a different dimension. I had a bad dream or something. But Lord, let us always remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We put on a garment of praise for a spirit of weariness, casting all our cares on the Lord, for He takes care of us in everything. Rolling the total sum of your problems and cares on Him, for He said, my yoke is light, my burden is soft. He cares, He loves, He gives wisdom, He gives you His Word, He is the Word. You follow the Word, you follow the life, you walk in the light, and you have koinonia, joint sharing with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you, lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God's people say.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.